All right, everybody, welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. I am Glenn West, your senior writer here at the site. LSU is about 3 weeks into spring practice, and we've had an opportunity to watch a full practice and about a handful of eight other practices in about 30-minute segments. And so just thought it was a good enough sample size here to where we could come on and talk about kind of what we've seen to this point, kind of break down each position and kind of what we've seen, and just give our thoughts on how the first several weeks have gone here on the practice field for Lane Kiffin and the Tigers. And so before we dive into all that, let's just ask you guys that if you're watching or listening on YouTube, please give us a like and a subscription over there. Leave us a few comments. That always helps us out. Same goes if you're listening on Spotify or Apple or wherever you might be finding this podcast. Just please give us a like and a subscription over there, and give us a review. And so with all that being said, just wanted to come on here and kind of give my thoughts on what we've seen through the first handful of weeks of spring practice here. We've got another couple weeks to go. And it's been a very busy and very important time, I think, for this team. This is just kind of the early stages of installing their offense and defense and getting a feel for the personnel, getting a feel for how they work together and the tempo of the offense and the defense and all that good stuff. And so, just kind of a broad overview that I've kind of a broad takeaway that I've had. I think it's probably something that if you've listened to any Lane Kiffin press conferences, if you've read any of our stuff over at the site and kind of what we've asked players and talked to players about, they have a very deliberate tempo that they're working here in the spring, and it's very fast paced. It's very, quick moving. Certainly lots of areas here in which this offense and defense are kind of trying to learn what this scheme is about that Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. are bringing in. They've been running very quickly. They've been moving very fast. And I think the overall takeaway here is that it's been a little bit of an adjustment here in these first few weeks, which is why, so much of those offseason workouts were so important for these guys, as they kind of get an opportunity here to now really move forward with this kind of pace. And like I said, it's something that Lane Kiffin has spoken about a ton and values very much in how he gets his teams prepared here in the off season. And you've certainly heard that from the players as well. And just recently here on Saturday, we had a chance to go in and watch, a scrimmage in Tiger Stadium. And, after they kind of went through, their usual warm-up routine, their usual kind of 20 minutes of individual drills and a couple of the team periods before that, they really dove into the scrimmage here. And I was pretty surprised, as I think a lot of the media was as well, about just how long this scrimmage was. It was a good 90 minutes that they were out there scrimmaging, going back and forth between the various teams. And you could tell, man, they were moving fast and they were quickly getting to the next play, which I think, can be good not only from an offensive perspective as you learn the rhythm and tempo of this offense, but certainly from a defensive perspective as well. And that was something that, maybe the first few days of spring camp that, Lane Kiffin wanted to really, hone in to the defense on and get them aware of. And by week two, I think they were definitely aware of just kind of how intense this was going to be and how intense the tempo of this scheme was going to be. So just wanted to kind of give my breakdown here of each position and what I've seen so far, what I've thought of kind of how everybody's gone about their business here. So we can, start with the quarterbacks here. And of course, everybody wants to know, the latest on Sam Leavitt. And I think, the number one transfer portal player in the on 24/7 Sports this year. There was a lot of expectations and a lot of hype here on this offseason about, just kind of what he would be able to give LSU in the spring, coming off of that Liz Frank injury. And he participated in the first couple of weeks here. I mean, he wasn't doing any contact stuff. He was mainly throwing against air. He did a little bit of light 7-on-7 work, according to Coach Kiffin, but about a week ago now, maybe a little over a week ago, he had a final kind of cleanup procedure on that foot injury that he's been kind of dealing with here. don't expect him back for the rest of spring practice. He was out there on Saturday during the first scrimmage that the media got to see, and just kind of getting those mental reps in. But they needed to take some of the take a screw or two out from that foot injury. So he's he's shelved here, I think, for the remainder of spring ball. And I think that was we learned after the fact, but we learned that it was something that LSU had expected, and that he's still very much on schedule in terms of his rehab and in terms of his return to play here. And so, you know, the summer months are going to be extremely important for Leavitt. It's something we talked about going into the spring, just how important that time period was going to be for him. And so, stinks that you're not going to have him out there for the last couple weeks here and really kind of maybe drive up some of his workouts and intensity in practice. But like we said, this was something that LSU expected, and just got to wait and see kind of what the next update is with him. But it's also allowed a lot of opportunities here for Husan Longstreet, the redshirt freshman transfer from USC, and then Elon transfer, Landon Clark as well. Those have been the two guys that have mainly been working here at the quarterback spot in the first handful of weeks. With the first team, it's been mostly Landon Clark that we've seen in terms of the individual drills and in the kind of the first team, quote unquote, team period that they do at the start of every practice. They call it their quick six, where they have like a structured six plays that the offense will run against the defense just to kind of get the juices flowing, I think, from a team perspective. And Landon Clark has been leading the group, leading the first team with those reps here during the early portion of spring. But in this scrimmage that we saw on Saturday, it was really the first opportunity to see, okay, like how are they actually getting reps as the course of practice goes on. And, I would say it was a pretty even split between Clark and Longstreet in terms of work with the ones and work with a lot of the guys that I guess you could pencil in right now as the quote unquote first team. So both of those guys got a lot of reps on Saturday. They both had their struggles. I think there's, that's not to be unexpected at this point. I mean, by this point, you've probably also seen that there were five interceptions thrown. Most of those were just poor decisions or bad throws. And so, three were from Clark, two were from Longstreet. I will say of the two, I thought that Longstreet had more positive moments and more consistency. I thought that he and Winston Watkins in particular had a really nice connection throughout the course of that first scrimmage that the media was allowed to see. Watkins had a 98-yard catch and run touchdown in this scrimmage, and he had several other big plays over the middle of the field. I think LSU is really going to look to him to be a big piece in this offense from a receiver standpoint. We'll get to him a little bit later, but Longstreet was on the passing end, I think, of a lot of the bigger plays that LSU had throughout the course of that scrimmage on Saturday. You can tell it's probably a group of quarterbacks right now that still need time to develop and time to really come into their own as passers, and certainly within this offense as well. But again, none of that's to be unexpected at this point in time. And I think that they, the part of the construct of this offseason for LSU when they brought those two guys in was with the understanding that they would hopefully be around for longer than a year. And so we'll see kind of how those two guys progress here over the next couple weeks. The media will get a full week's worth of full practice viewings here over the next several days. And so we'll certainly by the end of spring have even more details and more kind of overall thoughts from that from these next couple weeks as we kind of get a little bit more of a taste of what this team looks like beyond the first 30 minutes of a regular practice and beyond just a scrimmage on Saturday kind of a deal. We'll get a chance to actually see some of these practices and what they're doing, what they're focusing on over the next couple weeks, which will be fun and really great info for us and just kind of learning a little bit about how they structure stuff with under Lane Kiffin. So we'll move on to the running backs here. This is a pretty wide open competition, I must say. Like, I don't have a great feel after 3 weeks of, this guy is definitely beating out this guy or anything like that. I think that there is a clear hierarchy right now in terms of, guys that I think could be mixed in. And I think it's a four-man group. And we saw that play out kind of in the scrimmage. But Caden Durham has been getting a lot of the first team run with the running backs in terms of just that first 20 minutes of individual drills and that, like they mentioned, that quick six drill that we mentioned at the top here that they like to do right out of the gates of practice. But Harlan Berry has worked in there as well. I think those are probably the two guys that you look at right now as maybe the two leaders in the clubhouse for the most reps going into the fall, and I think that's to be expected here. Those are the two guys at LSU worked very hard to retain in the transfer portal and in terms of keeping them out of the portal and in Durham's case, bringing him back out of the portal. But they've also really, I think, stepped up the amount of work for Dylan Jones, the Wisconsin transfer, kind of a different back than the first two, a guy that I think will run between the tackles and, shed tackles and is kind of maybe more of a quote unquote bruiser of a back. He's elusive and he can get into the second level and make guys miss, but he also can power through you a little bit too. And I think that's a nice little change of pace there for a running back. And then Stacey Gage is the other one that, I was a little bit curious about, didn't really know a whole ton about him going into the spring. And there's not enough, reps, to really say in individual drills, like this guy is certainly going to be in the mix kind of a deal. We just don't really know. But in that scrimmage, I think he got a lot of a lot of first team looks, a lot of second team looks, a lot of looks with both offenses and just kind of the way that they were structuring things. And I thought he moved really well as a kind of more of a veteran back, a guy from UCF that has a couple of years of experience under his belt. And so he could very well mix in throughout the course of spring here as things kind of move along. So I'm not counting out Rod Ganey erasing Guillory from being able to, kind of mark, move their way into this competition a little bit more. But I do think that you're looking at Durham, Berry, and then Jones, Gage is kind of the two groupings there of guys that I think will see the most action, at least here over the next couple of weeks. And then we'll certainly reevaluate when we get into the summer and the fall. And that's, I'm sure, what LSU will be doing as well. So you move to the wide receivers here. I think that, through 2 weeks or through two and a half, no, we're really through, we're just finished week three. So through 3 weeks here, there's a kind of a clear grouping of about three that I think have earned a majority of the workload so far. But there's a whole handful of other guys that have really looked good too, and that are, I think, consistently pushing their way to the top or pushing their way for more looks from this coaching staff. The three that I think have kind of earned the most opportunities here through the first several weeks have been Jace Brown, the transfer they got from Kansas State, Winston Watkins, the transfer they got from Ole Miss, and then Jackson Harris, the Hawaii transfer, has also been a guy that they've really heavily targeted from a vertical perspective and somebody that I think has earned the role that he's in right now. Those are the kind of the three that have stood out to me the most and through these first 3 weeks. Watkins in particular, like I said, in the Saturday scrimmage, was probably the second best pass catching threat behind Tre'Dez Green, who we'll get to here in a minute as well. But they used him over the middle of the field in the slot, and this is going to be an offense that really likes to work the middle of the field. I mean, you're going to see that a lot here in the fall, just how much they like to work these receivers over the middle of the field, and whether that's on crossing routes or just different ways to get those guys open. I think you're going to see Winston Watkins is a heavily featured player in this offense, and certainly he has the most experience in this offense from a pass catching perspective, having already spent a year in this offense and producing for a team that made it to the college football playoff semifinal last year. So really liked what I've seen from Watkins. I think Brown is just a really crisp route runner, somebody that has three years of experience at a power four level, who has put up big numbers at Kansas State, and I think has averaged 15 or 16 yards a catch over his career. So he's somebody that I think you can lean into for explosive plays. The same thing goes with Harris, and I think those guys are all going to be contributors come fall. We'll see kind of how the rest of it shakes out. But, you know, I think right now we're also kind of not seeing a whole lot of Trey Brown, the one of the receivers that they got from Old Dominion. He's been a little bit banged up, and I don't think he's played or participated in a ton of the spring practices so far. So and then the other two guys that have really kind of stepped up here, there are really big receivers. They're really tall. That's Roman Mothershed and Malik Elzey, who they got out of Syracuse. Forget where they got Mothershed from, but he in particular has, you know, really, I think, kind of stepped into the forefront here at the wide receiver position. He's done a really nice job making, you know, contested catches. He's obviously a big body. He's 6'3", 6'4". I think both of these guys, they kind of handle that size well and go up and can make contested catches and be physical and have, you know, several years of college experience under their belt. They haven't played a ton. They don't have a ton of career catches, but they do have a lot of, you know, experience in being in a college program, which is really nice. And I think something that LSU certainly targeted. So, you look at those guys, that grouping of about five that I've kind of run through here at wide receiver, I think those are going to be pretty consistent. But I don't think any of them are going to get the amount of attention or targets that this next guy is going to get. And that's Tre'Davious Green in the tight end room. Like, I made sure that every time that Tre'Davious Green was targeted in that scrimmage on Saturday to make a little note. And I think he ended up with six catches and probably, you know, another three or four targets that weren't quite completed, but they're going to look for him a ton in this offense. And another guy that you can move around the field, certainly utilize in the middle of the field as well. I think LSU has got big things planned for Tre'Davious Green, and I left that scrimmage on Saturday thinking that's very much going to be the case. Wouldn't be a bit surprised if he's somebody that ends up this year with 60-plus catches and, you know, anywhere from 800 to 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns. By the way that they have looked at him, at least in these first couple weeks of spring practice, they're going to feature him heavily, and it's a role that he's going to embrace. I think he's talked about that with us in the media already about how much he wants to be that go-to option. And I think that he's well on his way to being a featured piece here in this offense. And, you know, kind of to round out the tight end room, I think Malachi Thomas has had some good moments as well. You're going to see a lot of him. I think you'll see some of Zach Grace, who maybe not more from a pass catching perspective, but maybe more from a blocking perspective and helping out the run game, is where you could see Zach Grace, the Oregon transfer, really have an impact on this team. But this is all going to go through Tre'Davious, at least in the tight end room. So we'll move on to the offensive line here. This is also another position group that I think has wide open competition at left guard, at right tackle, at right guard. I think we understand that, you know, Jordan Seaton's going to be your left tackle barring injury, and Braylon Moore barring injury is going to be your center. But those other three spots, I think coming into the spring, were going to be interesting to watch. And there's been some mixing and matching through the first several weeks. I think we've kind of settled into at least a little bit of consistency at right tackle and at right guard. You've seen a lot of Alou Ba at right guard, the transfer that they got from Maryland, who has 2 years of starting experience in the Big Ten. And then Weston Davis, the right tackle, who LSU was returning from last year, is also been pretty consistently at that right tackle spot here throughout the first 3 weeks of spring. Left guard, you've seen Devin Harper the first few weeks, but here recently, Bo Bordelon, the veteran that has been, you know, in this program now, I think this is his fourth year. He's been recently getting a lot of looks at left guard as well. So that remains a very wide open competition. And I think the other two positions are going to be up for grabs too here into the fall. Like, I don't think just because we've seen some consistency here in the first few weeks that guys like, you know, Sean Tompkins, or, you know, when he's healthy, Solomon Thomas, or, you know, a couple other guys that, you know, could maybe make their way into this competition a little bit more. But right now, the big one, I think, from the offensive line perspective, has been Bordelon and Harper at left guard. That's been kind of the most consistent kind of back and forth that we've seen, at least through 3 weeks here. Offensive line looks a little bit more physical. I think that's what you would hope to expect with Eric Wolford and certainly James Craig being brought back here to kind of help spearhead coaching that position room. There have been some, there were some tough moments there in the scrimmage on Saturday. I'm not going to sugarcoat that, but this is also still a very new group as a whole. And you've got Moore and you've got Davis, who were starters last year for LSU, but certainly watching that offensive line last year at LSU, a lot of these guys need development still. They need time and they need, certainly the structure here that this offense and this scheme are going to present. And I think a big part of this too for the offensive line is that, this is going to be a quick hitter offense. Like, this is a very quick decision-making kind of offense that they're going to be bringing in here, combined with the fact that they also have quarterbacks that can run. I think this offensive line is just going to naturally be better because of the scheme that's being brought in. But of course, you would still like to see that development. And I think that we'll hopefully start to see that here as the final couple weeks of spring really play out. And they've got some more work to do there, but they have a lot of talent and they have some good leadership. Like, I will say, like, we know Braylon Moore is a great leader from last year, but Seton, I think, is somebody that really, we had a chance to talk to him there first full week of camp, and he's somebody that I think kind of pleasantly surprised me in terms of the way he speaks and the way that he communicates and the way he's thought about this season, the effort and the work that he's put in. I think is something that can really rub off on a lot of guys in that room. So I think the offensive line, hopefully by fall, will be pretty well covered, and I think that they're on their way to being a pretty improved group here for LSU offensively. So, that covers the offensive side of the ball. We do want to talk about the defense as well. I think the edge rushers group has been, at least on Saturday, was one of the most impressive groups of the entire roster. I thought Prince Weluman Mielen and Jordan Ross; those were the two guys that really played kind of the most for the first team in terms of the pass rushers and kind of the what they were able to do in terms of creating pressure and getting in the backfield and forcing, what would be sacks. I mean, they're not allowed to touch the quarterbacks, but they definitely had their hands full in terms of getting back there and doing a good job of creating negative plays for this offense. I thought the defense, at least here on Saturday, this first scrimmage that the media got to see, definitely won the day. And that was in no small part because of what Prince Well did, what Jordan Ross did. Those guys, I think, are going to be very heavily featured here on the edge, with a slight wrinkle here that could be thrown here into the summer with Lamar Brown coming in. He's somebody that the five-star freshman, the top five overall player, somebody that Lane Kiffin has spoken a lot about here over the first couple weeks. I think he believes that Lamar Brown could come in and make an immediate impact, and I think he probably will have to, especially with the injury news to Gabriel Relaford, who's gone down with the torn ACL here during the course of spring. I think LSU will really lean into that three-headed monster of Umon Mielen, Jordan Ross, and then Lamar Brown when he gets here this spring. But for now, those first two guys have done a really nice job, and I think are going to give you a lot of pressures, a lot of opportunities to have success in getting into opponent backfields and creating tackles for loss and negative plays. And that's kind of the first level here for Blake Baker's defense, right? He wants to create a lot of havoc. He wants to create a lot of pressure. That obviously helps what the linebackers can do and what the secondary can do from a playmaking perspective. And so I think it's going to start with those guys up front, and it takes us into the defensive line here, where there's been, again, a lot of freshmen who have been playing here up front for the defense here the first several weeks. And that's something that I think over the course of the offseason I expected, but maybe not this quickly into spring. But Deuce Geralds and Richard Anderson have been working in here with these with what I would presume to be LSU's preferred starting unit here on the defensive line. Like, they Geralds in particular, from pretty much practice one through practice nine, with the exception of one missed practice that he had, and even into the scrimmage, was working here with the ones and doing a really nice job. And somebody that I think has certainly taken to the weight and conditioning program here at LSU, and has made an early statement here to this coaching staff that he's potentially going to be ready to play as a first year player. Anderson was in that first grouping as well for the first about week and a half. I don't know if he's battling an injury per se, because he's been out there and he's been doing some of the individual drills. He didn't participate much in the scrimmage, but you know they've kind of. You know, push. I guess the best way to describe it is push back on his workload here a little bit over the last couple of weeks, or last week and a half, I should say. But you know, I don't think it's anything serious because he was out there and participating in a lot of the individual drills and a lot of the team periods and stuff that they've done. But you know, outside of those two, Malik Blockton, the transfer that they got from Auburn, has been working in quite a bit. Next to Gerald's Dominic McKinley, the returner from last year, or last couple of years, former five-star, has also been working in with the first team and with those first couple of teams. And so that's been kind of the core four, I think, Anderson, Gerald's, Blockton, and McKinley. Stefylin Green, the transfer they got from Clemson, missed the first week and a half of spring ball, but he was back for the last week or so. I think, he's still probably getting his feet under him here after missing a little bit of time, but I would expect him to certainly work into that competition and work into that group as well. And then they have a couple other guys that have been kind of veterans on this team, or guys that are maybe a little bit lower on the depth chart right now, but could have opportunities here to kind of push some of those guys. Brandon Brown is a name that comes to mind. We'll see who else kind of shows up from that room. But they feel, I think, pretty good about the defensive line right now, that front four. But, certainly there's going to be – if you're going to be playing – asking two true freshmen to play at least some kind of role here when those games start in the fall. It's going to be a big – wake-up call for them, and how they respond to those situations is going to be really fascinating to watch unfold. At linebacker, with Whit Weeks out for the majority here of spring camp, he hadn't participated in anything yet. So the LSU has really leaned into kind of the duo of TJ Dottery and Devon Keys. I think that's been kind of the most consistent grouping there. Weeks has been out there and kind of helping, I guess, for lack of a better word, coach the team from the sidelines. He's been very engaged with all the defensive players. And so you can tell, like, this is, this is his team. This is his defense. This is a guy that, feels like he's, going to, finally get himself healthy here this offseason and get back and be a real leader of this team. And that's really good to see. But, Dottery has been a real leader with this group as well. Keys obviously has the experience from last year under his belt. Tylan Singleton hasn't participated a ton here in the spring. He's like Trey Brown at the wide receiver room. We've been seeing both of those guys on the exercise bike quite a bit during at least the individual drill portion of practice. And I didn't see either one of them participate in the scrimmage there on Saturday. But in terms of the younger guys that are getting some really good looks as a result of this, Zach Weeks, I think, has done some good things. And then Charles Ross has also been somebody, an inside linebacker that LSU has leaned into a little bit more here in the spring. And I think that those two guys have an opportunity to really maybe not push guys like Dottery or Keys or Weeks out of the rotation or anything like that, but maybe earn some reps here as the offseason goes along, and certainly when fall camp starts. So those are the linebackers. We kind of know what that grouping is going to look like, I think, here in the fall, but good to see that they're also putting in some good work here in the spring. At cornerback, again, another group that I think we have a pretty good idea of what we're going to get come fall, as long as those guys stay healthy. I think DJ Pickett and PJ Woodland are going to be your two starting cornerbacks. But they do have some guys that I think are starting to come up here and show some improvement within this system they've been in now for 2 years. And two guys that really come to mind, Jakeem Jackson, who I think has been pretty solid so far for LSU. At least in that scrimmage on Saturday, I thought he had some good moments. But the real winner, I thought, on Saturday from a secondary perspective was Aiden Anding, the second-year player. Had two interceptions in the first hour of that scrimmage. Unfortunately, on the second interception, he did kind of hit the turf, and they had to kind of help him off the field. And, you know, kind of by the end of the scrimmage, he was in a, you know, walking boot. And so not sure exactly what's going on with him. We'll kind of get a little bit of a better idea as the week goes along, maybe about what's going on there. But I thought he had a really nice day on Saturday and could be another guy that maybe pushes for some reps and some playing time here in 2026. At safety, I think we also have a pretty good idea of kind of the veteran players that are at play. Ty Benefield, the transfer from Boise State, somebody that we just recently wrote about here on the site, but is one of the most experienced players, not only on this team, but in all of college football, has been a multi-year starter at Boise State, has over 2,000 career snaps under his belt. He also played, I thought, really well in this scrimmage on Saturday. He's going to be really important to this team because you're not only losing Monster Delane at cornerback, but you're losing A.J. Halsey at safety as well. And those were two veteran leaders for you, guys that could both be, you know, top 60 picks, and certainly in Delane's case, a top, you know, 15 or 12 pick or whatever it is he winds up going in next week's draft. So having a guy like Benefield who has experience, his big-time playmaker, I think is going to be huge for this defense. You know, Tamarcus Cooley had an interception on Saturday. I thought he had a nice day. Deshaun Spears, they've been working in kind of in that nickel/star role. He's been kind of in the slot covering some of those tight ends and those receivers. And I thought he had a really nice day as well. Made some plays in the backfield, got his hands on a couple balls. And, you know, I think he's somebody that LSU is going to, you know, try to lean into and kind of wants to see take that next step in this defense and be a serious contributor for this team. It was really good to see him perform well. But the one guy that I will mention here that, you know, maybe has kind of gone, maybe not flown under the radar, but somebody that, you know, I think you need to keep an eye on is Fahim Delane, the second-year player. He's a sophomore now. From Ohio State that LSU got out of the transfer portal. He's Monster's brother, and somebody that I think just when you watch him and you look at him go through the individual drills and certainly in the scrimmage on Saturday, just looks the part of a really nice safety, a really, you know, playmaking safety that can do a lot of different things for the defense in the back half. And I think he could very well, you know, push for some major playing time this fall if his, you know, development in this defense continues. You know, he's, you know, doesn't have the leg up on Cooley or Spears from a defensive, you know, understanding of this system, but you know, he's somebody that I think, you know, could certainly work his way in there eventually. So those are kind of my thoughts on the defense. I would say right now, and I would agree wholeheartedly with Lane Kiffin on this, the defense is ahead of the offense, which is what you would expect this time when you have most of your defensive staff returning, when you have so many guys that not only have experience at the college level, but have experience in this system as well. I think that's really important. And so we'll be very interested to see here kind of how, you know, the offense kind of develops and evolves over the course of these next couple weeks, and certainly how the spring finishes defensively with maybe some guys getting back out there and maybe getting a little bit of a clearer understanding of kind of what this group looks like going into the summer. There are a couple special teams notes that we have. You know, the kicker will be Scott Starzik, the transfer they got out of Arkansas. I don't think there's going to be much competition there for him, but on the punting side, there's very much going to be an open competition with, you know, returner Grant Chadwick and then also Florida transfer Hayden Craig. I think that competition will certainly play out here over the next several months, and I don't think anything is even close to settled there. In terms of returners, you know, we did get a first chance look at seeing some guys return some punts, and they've been working Winston Watkins back there. Jace Brown, Eugene Wilson, and Jabari Mack have been kind of the guys that LSU has worked back there at punt returner. So those are just a couple notes on special teams, but overall, again, like I said, been a very productive, fast-paced, moving first 3 weeks of spring, and we're excited to watch the next couple weeks play out as well. I think this is going to be a really fun team to watch over the course of this offseason, continue to develop. We know the expectations on the outside are going to be sky high, and I think a lot of these players, at least the ones that we've talked to here over the first several weeks, want to embrace that and understand like that they're here to win and win at a very high level here in 2026. But a lot of work to do, and we'll certainly have you guys covered with all of the updates. But for now, thank you for watching and listening to the Go 24/7 podcast, and we'll see you back here soon.